Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by the Community State Bank in Peyton. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today is a very special one. He's going to be playing with his band out at the Green Room Event Center at Wild Rose here in Jefferson, Iowa, and it's One Night of Queen, performed by Gary Mullen in the Works, and we are joined by the man himself, Gary Mullen, now on the phone. So thank you very much, Gary, for being on.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your musical background? What inspired you to become a musician and start up your band?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I suppose it goes back to being a kid. My first sort of musical memory was Queen, We Are the Champions, the video on TV. And it inspired me to sort of, I suppose, just go around singing around the house, you know, and then in my teens, form some bands and we all try to be big, you know, let's be big rock stars and got nowhere like a lot of people do, and just did karaoke. And then this TV show Stars in Our Eyes came along in 2000, and my wife, my mum applied for the show without telling me about it. I went on the TV show and won it, and then this whole career started, and that was 17 years ago this May.
Gary, take us back to that moment when you won the live grand final back in 2000, and just kind of take us back to that point and kind of just share with us how that musical career of yours just kind of grew, I guess, exponentially after that. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that was the sort of, I suppose, the as they say, the event horizon. I mean, it was the most surreal moment, because it felt like I was having an out-of-body experience, like somebody else was, you know, on the stage. Somebody else won it, and I was kind of waiting in the wings. And then I sort of found myself in the makeup chair at the end of the thing, taking the costume thing, because obviously they make you up. And I was like, what just happened? Who won this? And they were like, you did. Like, did I? Because my brain just was like, didn't compute I'd actually won this show. And then the offers of work started happening. And I had a regular day job as a computer salesman. So within a month, I was out touring full time. You know, sort of made the jump from having a normal 9-to-5, you know, consistent job to something that could have lasted 2 weeks, you know, not really knowing what was going to happen. It was a real leap of faith. But luckily, it was one that paid off.
Can you just tell us why you chose to kind of aspire yourself after Freddie Mercury?
The thing with the TV show, it was a sound-alike show. So people would say that I sounded like Freddie Mercury. I don't hear it myself. I just sing as I sing, you know. And
sure.
He is my hero. So I was like, cool, okay, you just think I sound like Freddie? Great. This is back sort of doing karaoke's and even in bands before. So once I'd won the TV show and got the recognition, it was like, okay, you could actually maybe go out and do this as a professional career. Sort of just learned as I went along, and just, like I say, when I sing, I just hear myself. I don't hear what other people hear. I just hear me singing Queen songs. That's about as I suppose as basic as I can put it.
Sure. Now, can you take us back to maybe some major points in your overall musical career in the past 17 years? What's been kind of the major highlights for you?
I mean, I suppose since we're here at the moment, our first US tour was pretty, well, they're all really special because we you know, the audiences are always fantastic. But to come to America in the first year we came, not knowing what to expect, not knowing if the show was going to be a success, if people were going to come to the show, if they were going to, you know, get involved in the show, because it's not a sit-down show. We really involve the audience and want the audience to feel part of it. And it just blew us away. It was like, oh my God, people actually are enjoying themselves. This is great. So that was a big highlight. We've done a couple of shows for the BBC in the UK, in Hyde Park in London, where the audiences both times were 45,000 people, which in the daylight, when you're on stage and you can see the audience and you've got, you know, 45,000 people hand-clapping to Radio Gaga, it's pretty special.
I see here that you travel all across the world. You just talked about some of the foreign countries for us Americans that performed at. Can you tell us some special concerts or things or places that you visited that just kind of stand out in your mind?
Yeah, we were down in Mexico for the first time last year. We never knew what to expect down there. We knew that Queen, when they did a massive South American tour in 1980, they were one of the first bands to really go out and do it down there. And we went down and we played arenas. We played three massive arenas, and the crowd just went crazy. I mean, from the word go, they just went completely out of their minds. And then we got to Love of My Life, which is just acoustic, David guitarist and I just singing the song. And I literally sang two lines of the song, and like 7,000 people just sang it louder than we did. And we just stopped playing and just let them do it. It's like, oh my God, this is awesome. Sort of spine tingling, you know, gives you goosebumps. And it was just a real magical moment. You know, we've played over New Zealand a few, you know, four or five times, which was amazing as well. In fact, we were in New Zealand a couple of years ago, and Peter Jackson, the Lord of the Rings director, was at the show, and he was in the front row and he turned up late, and I didn't know who he was, so I made fun of him for being late and told him he could buy everyone a free drink, and then realised who he was. It was like, ah, sorry, dude. He came backstage, he was cool about it, but it was just like, oh, sorry. But yeah, so that's, you know, we've been through some, you know, say Mexico was pretty special, New Zealand's always great, America's always a fantastic audience, and the guys, you know, Europe, France and Germany and Belgium, you know, they, and of course the UK, there seems to be Queen fans everywhere.
I was just going to ask you too, with today's generation and the younger kids and everything, they might not be as exposed to some of those classic tunes back from the 70s and 80s that the Queen kind of heralded itself on. Do you find, or are you seeing younger people starting to show up to concerts and be more involved in Queen music?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because we actually are. There's a real spate of young kids coming to shows with Queen t-shirts on, and they know all the songs, including songs that, I mean, 70s Arrive was out 1974. I was 1 year old, you know? And I'm like, it blows my mind. You've got a six-year-old kid singing along with 70s Arrive with a Queen t-shirt. He knows all the words. With his, he's there with his parents, or he's there with his grand and grandfather, or his aunt and uncle. And the amount of young kids, the amount of young college kids, the amount of high school kids, the amount of kindergarten kids, sometimes little kids, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, singing their hearts out, and it's just like, wow. It just proves that the music's timeless, and it just keeps going on and on and on.
And that's our guest for today's Community State Bank in Peyton Let's Talk Greene County program, here with Gary Mullen and The Works for One Night of Queen that'll be performed out at Wild Rose's Green Room Event Center this Saturday. Community State Bank in Peyton is an independent, locally owned bank in business since 1956. Back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.